Welcome back to Boldly Though, the only Star Trek podcast that is an endless hunger that will never die.
Speaking of lunchtime.
That's right. It's fucking lunchtime. I'm Science Officer Kelly.
I'm Security Officer Karen. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Sorry I messed up the scheduling, everybody.
Well, you want to know how I almost messed up this episode?
How?
Well, it's been a while ago now, but I was sitting here trying to do my test on the recorder that I use. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here, I go, God, that doesn't look very good. So then I moved the mic closer and I went, okay. And I'm listening and it sounds like it's coming from my little Alexa device out here. And I'm like, okay, where's that noise coming from? And I'm looking, finally realized the mic's not plugged in.
Well, I don't think we would have gotten very far without the mic being plugged in.
I have the mic not plugged in and my earbuds in my ears and I can't barely hear it and it's not hearing me. And I went, well, shit, it would help if I plugged the fucking thing in.
Using the microphone is step number one in podcasting. And that's about the only step, really.
Well, you have to record also.
Yeah, that's true. You got to hit record.
Yep.
You got to use the microphone.
Yeah.
Yay,
I managed. Yay.
You managed. We're doing it. When we're putting in all this good effort for, let me check my notes. Oh, no, TOS is wolf in the fold.
And are you the one that called it stupid last time?
Probably.
Yeah, I have stupid ? And then my review is, yes, really dumb.
Season 2, episode 14, by the way.
I did take some cute notes as we go, though, so.
Good. Well, please share them with us as we get there. But yes, we're back to TOS, and this is Wolf in the Fold, which is kind of a famous episode of TOS, I think. At least in Star Trek fandom, because it is bonkers. It's a real weird one.
It is bonkers. That's a good word.
It opens on a belly dancer.
A belly dancer, that's right.
Doing belly dancing. She's wearing so much plastic, this poor woman. Like plastic, like table fringe or whatever. It's pink and shiny. And she is belly dancing. And it turns out that we are in a club on Ardelia. And we're here with our friends, Kirk, Bones, and Scotty. And Ardelia.
It's Ardelia.
Ardelia. Yeah, I wrote a D instead of a G, but you're right. It is a G. I wrote it as a G the rest of the time. Ardelia is home to a completely hedonistic society.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get belly dancing, you know.
Mm-hmm. I want to see a man belly dancing.
Yeah.
If we're a hedonistic society, where's my eye candy?
I'm sorry. That doesn't exist.
Well, we're not that kind of a hedonistic society. I see.
No, we're a hedonistic society imagined by Robert Bloch in the 60s and then allowed to be on TV. Like, maybe he wrote something more extreme. But no, you won't even see one handsome man on this planet. Sorry to say. No, you know what? Jarrus is okay.
Yeah, I think he's attractive, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I apologize to Commissioner Jarrus or whatever the fuck this dude's name is.
Prefect.
He's cool.
Yeah, he's like him. Cool. I like him too.
But yeah, so she's... I'm
a little concerned about how concerned he is about something that happens quite soon, but...
Yeah, it's... we'll get there.
Sorry, not concerned.
Interesting planet. Completely hedonistic, we're told. There is one belly dancer and just like hanging out. And she finishes...
Well, we never do make it to that place where the women are. Yeah.
I know the place. Let's go. They're so... Yeah.
I know the place. Let's go.
Naked? Just say it. What is happening?
Oh, is that what it is? They're just naked?
I don't know.
We can't say that?
Fucking?
I thought maybe friendly?
Friendly. The ladies are so nice there. We gotta get there. There's a bit where she finishes and Scotty starts clapping and, well.
Yeah, he's patting his hand on the table. And they go, and Jim's like, no, we use the lights here. We use the lights. He goes, oh, you don't have to tell me how to clap and how to applaud or blah, blah, blah. Pub crawler like me.
Yeah, but also, like you said, he is just banging on a table, which I do not think is applause. Scotty, we do have to tell you. You use both your hands. But yes, Kirk and Bones have been here before. Scotty has not. Scotty is very into it. And
it turns out this is all therapeutic.
Yeah, Kirk has invited the lady. He's like, do you like her? And Scotty's like, oh, yeah. And Kirk's like, well, good. I've asked her to come over here. And she does. And it's like, what are you like? And he's like, I'm Scottish. You want to hear about it? And she's like, absolutely.
Okay. And hang on. I watched this like the third or fourth time this morning when I went, oh, I missed that. Okay. So.
The secrets of Wolf in the Fold. They reveal themselves to you slowly.
Right. And so, yeah, if you watch it enough times, which please don't. Yeah, so he goes, oh, I doubt anyone has ever told you of the marvelous fogs we have in Aberdeen. And she says, never a word, but I'm dying to learn.
Oh, no. So ironic.
Oh, my God. How did I fucking miss that? 4-3 times.
Yeah, instead of her being like, I've never heard of it. What the fuck are you talking about? Where's Aberdeen? Earth? Never heard of that either.
Oh, no, they're totally hedonistic, so they don't care what you're talking about. They're always very interested, and they're dying to learn, apparently.
Yeah. So he invites her to take a walk in the fog.
And they do.
And so they leave. And this is, yes, we find out that all of this is therapeutic because... Okay, you know our friend Scotty Montgomery Scott, cool guy, friend of ours.
Yeah.
Turns out we're having to cure his total resentment of women.
I don't know that he has a total resentment of women. They're worried he'll have a total resentment of women, which was silly. Why would you think that anyway of Montgomery Scott?
So. Well, here's what happened. The grim facts of the case. A lady caused an explosion in engineering that threw him against a bulkhead and gave him a concussion.
Yeah. Doesn't that shit happen all the time?
Yeah. And Scotty's concussed almost every day. The ship's always shaken.
Yeah. And what? It's usually a man, so it's not a problem. He doesn't resent men. But now suddenly, because a woman did it, he resents women? This is all stupid and made up and dumb.
It's so silly for them to be like, well, thank God he hasn't become a raging misogynist because we showed him a sexy lady. Don't let him look at the lady who caused the explosion.
Yeah. And you know, for someone who's so worried about ladies, there's an awful lot of ladies in this episode the whole way through.
Yeah.
Which I'm questioning. I have a lot of comments that are all caps to make sure that I know that I made that comment, not anybody from the TV show.
Yeah. I think Bones is like, well, listen, he's on his way to overcoming his total resentment towards women, which is the phrase they keep using. And
yeah. And concussion and head injury and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So, Bones and Kirk decide to head to a club where the ladies are so. They're just so. I know the place.
Let's go.
Yeah, they rush out. I do like how foggy the street is.
It's silly. Like,
it is. No, it is cartoon foggy out here.
It's foggy up to your knees. That's how foggy these streets are. Yeah, I doubt that's fun. The fog in Aberdeen.
Now, to be fair.
Well, it's a TV show. We can't.
2 weeks ago, Kirk was fighting a sentient cloud. He should be freaking out right now. And Bones should be like, this is also therapeutic to get you over your total resentment towards clouds. Might have been last week, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
1 week ago, Kirk would be like, I have to punch this cloud to death. And now he's like, I gotta go meet a lady about my dick.
It needs some rubbing.
And I can't do it for some reason.
No, it feels better when she does it. Especially if she's so friendly.
Yes. So, again, they never say what the ladies are so. But boy, are they. And everyone knows that club. But
everyone.
Everyone. But we don't get to see it.
No. Bummer.
Because a lady screams in the dark. And the answer, I guess, is not the ladies are so screamy. Because otherwise, we'd be going to the right place. So they're like, oh, fuck. Gotta go see what that's about. And guess what? The dancer, whose name is like Kara or something.
Yeah, we found out later it's Kara. Yeah, but they pronounce it Kara. Yeah.
She's dead. She's been stabbed a dozen times. That's a lot of times. And whoops, who else is here? Why, it's our friend Scotty, pressed flat against a wall, holding a bloody knife.
In a corner. So he's leaning against the wall with his back. He's leaning against the wall with his free hand. And he's got the knife in his other hands.
Yeah.
Oh no, cue the music.
Come back, title card, Wolf in the Fold, written by Robert Block. Do you know who Robert Block is, Mom?
No.
He wrote Psycho.
Oh, okay.
The book. He did not write the screenplay, I don't think. He wrote other stuff as well. really never beating the weird about women allegations, Robert Block.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, but it's fun that he has written this.
Yeah, well, now a lot of things are falling into place now. Thank you for that tidbit of information.
So yeah, I read another story by him one time, and it's like, wow, you really do not care for women, huh? Cool. Not unusual from his era.
He probably had a head injury.
Oh my God, his total resentment of women was caused when a lady, I don't know, did something in the 50s and he fell over and hit his head.
That's right. His older sister pushed him off the thing on the playground.
Oh no, don't say that.
So it's Captain's Log, Stardate 3614.9. Then we're on Planet Argelius 2. Mm-hmm. We were there for therapeutic shore leave for Scotty. And now he's under suspicion of brutally murdering an Argelian woman.
Yeah, and it's the way the suspicion is framed is very funny because he was found standing over her with the murder weapon in his hand. And Kirk's just like, oh, I guess if they want to investigate it their way, we have to let them. It's like he is holding the murder weapon over the dead woman. It's not open and shut because it's Star Trek, but this is more damning than I think Kirk almost ever acknowledges.
Well, yeah, that's because it's Scotty. Scotty would never do that. Scotty come on, this
stab is a lady 12 this is times.
Obviously not correct.
And then come on,
you gotta agree with that. You would never think Scott did that either.
I mean, if I saw this scene, I'd be like, "Well, I guess Scotty's a murderer."
Just that easily, huh?
Well. It's pretty damning.
Fuck, Scotty, what are you doing, man?
Hey dude, what's up? And we meet the man who is going to be nominally investigating this crime.
The city administrator, yes. Mr. Hingis.
Yes.
He's in charge of the investigation, and he's shocked, I tell you, that something like this would happen on Argelius.
Right, because it turns out that not a lot of crime happens on Argelius.
Because everybody's into fucking.
Everyone is hedonistic, and it's a pretty chill planet. Honestly, I wouldn't mind visiting Argelius. Maybe not right this second. What with the murders? But he's just like, I've never had to fucking investigate a murder here, because no one gets murdered. They just like hanging out.
I'm the only person here. If I was back on Rigel 4, I'd have dozens of investigators, but it's just me. And guess what, buddy? You suck.
Yeah. Now, did you notice anything about this man and his voice?
Oh, yeah. Who is he? He's go ahead. You tell me.
He voices Piglet in the Winnie the Pooh cartoons.
Oh, no, I didn't notice that.
Piglet's here.
Yay.
Just upping the strangeness of this episode. Real life human man Piglet is here. And
he's got beautiful blue eyes, by the way.
He does. He's got real blue peepers and he's not very good at his job.
Yeah, he's not very attractive. We already covered that earlier.
He's a bit like a potato man. He mentions that a lot of Argelius admin positions, they just hire from off-world because they're like, we don't want to fucking deal with that.
He says they're not very efficient.
Yeah, I like the idea of them being like, we can fucking pay you. I don't want to do that shit. Yep. I'm hanging out.
They're a gentle, I forget what this other word is, people. Harmless.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, hey, Scotty, did you do it? And he's like, well, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I don't remember. The answer is not no.
Right.
The answer is he has no memory. They went out in the fog. They were taking a walk. And then he has a hole in his memory. And the next thing he remembers, he was found holding a bloody knife.
Yep.
Seems bad. And, you know... Bones is trying to convince Kirk to, like, get more involved in the investigation, I think. And Kirk is like, this is literally under their purview.
Yeah.
However they want to, express their law. We're in their house. It's their laws.
Yep. You don't just throw them to the wolves, which, okay, our first wolves.
Yep.
I have a diplomatic responsibility. Argelian jurisdiction. If they want to arrest him, try him and convict him. I have to go along with it. But I'll do what I can.
Right. And he says something about the law of Argelius, and this is when we meet Prefect Jarvis, who comes in by saying the law of Argelius is love. And it's like, oh, hello, guy who's in charge of things. But yes, this is Jarvis, and he is here with his wife, Sibo. They're sad about the murder. They're here to investigate. He says, to be involved.
He says of Scotty, he does not look like a man capable of such an act. Still, it's been so long.
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, we don't really think he did it either. And Hengist is like, I do. Well, throw that man in jail.
He says, yeah, we had our great awakening 200 years ago. But we can find out what happened because SIBO can determine what happened.
Right. Like, things have been chill for centuries, but SIBO has a rare gift. And they're like, oh, the Argelian empathic contact. And Jarvis is like, oh, you've heard of it? And they're like, yeah.
He's impressed, yeah.
I thought you didn't do it anymore. He's like, yeah, we mostly don't, but SIBO can do it. So
she's a descendant of the ancient priestesses of our land. She has the ancient gift.
Yeah, so she's got to go, like, meditate.
Well, by all means, let's have the only person still with this gift involved in all this strangeness involving women. Or is there more of them? Hopefully there's more of them.
Yeah, hopefully there's more. We don't hear about that.
He says, we're not going to do that here, though. Please, yeah. I've come to invite you to my home.
Yeah, and Hengist is like, I don't think we should do that. And Jarvis is like, well, I do. So shut up. And then Kirk is like, no offense to your wife. Sounds like a good plan. We want to do things the way you want to do them. But also, on our ship, we have what's called a psycho tricorder, and we can take, like, a scan of Scotty's brain for the last 24 hours, and that should also tell us whether he did a murder or not. And Hengist is like, well, I don't think we should do that either. Your tech? Like, of course it's going to come out in favor of your man. And Jarvis is like, I don't know. We got time. It's fine. Go get that thing. Yeah, everyone's like, shut the hell up, Hengist.
And yeah, he's Hengist, like, well, I never. We don't like you. Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think this should be handled in an official manner? He says, well, since I am the highest ranking official, it will be handled in an official manner. Hengist, go shut the fuck up.
Yeah, Hengist, I'm here. I'm president of the planet and I'm personally involved. Kirk and Jarvis do talk very briefly, and sort of, sideways, sort of glancing talk where Jarvis is like, well, people are freaked out about the murder.
Yeah, he pours them both a drink, yeah.
Yeah, and some of them want to close the planet to outsiders.
To space vehicles.
What with none of us doing murders? And then you guys show up and you do a murder. And Argelius is the only spaceport in the quadrant, apparently. For what? For why? Who knows?
I wouldn't want you people on my planet.
But Jarvis does not seem inclined to shut everything down, but he's like, sort of signaling to Kirk, like, you know, we got to be careful about this, because if the pressure, you know, this is it, you know, we got to handle this. And Kirk's like, I do not want the planet to close. I'm fully cooperating. And Jarvis is like, yeah, it seems like you are.
Very strategic, very strategic, importantly, as a spaceport. We don't want that to happen.
No, we don't want to interrupt that. We're very sad about this murder and we don't want to fuck up diplomacy. And Jarvis is like, I agree. So they send for the psycho tricorder and Lieutenant Karen somebody comes down.
Tracy.
And
Hengist is also leaving to round up other suspects. But as he's walking out, he turns and him and Karen nod to each other.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Karen shows up.
And my comment is, why a woman?
Yeah. Great question. Second question is, Kirk's like, hey, Lieutenant Tracy, go do your thing. 24-hour regressive memory check. You know, you need a little space or time or whatever. So you and Mr. Scott go into that other room by yourselves. Goodbye. Close the door, even. And while they're going to get that started, Bones and Kirk talk about the possibility that maybe it's his concussion that had him do a murder.
Well, it's hysterical amnesia. It's guilt. If a man's done something so horrible that he doesn't want to remember it.
Yeah.
He can block it out. It's like, Bones is like, you guys are weird.
Maybe he did it. Yeah. Kirk's like, maybe his concussion made him do it. And then they're both like, hey, where's the murder knife? It was just here.
Well, no, Jarvis was looking for it later, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
SIBO wants to touch it. She returns and she's ready. And she says, may I have the knife? And so he's like, did you take it? He goes, no, why would I take it? So
I don't want that knife. Scream.
Yep.
Go to the room where the murder suspect and a woman were.
And I had this paused. So as soon as she screams... Jarvis takes off like he's in a marathon. I mean, he's blazing out of the room. And then Kirk and McCoy kind of trot behind him because it's not a big area.
Yeah, whatever. Probably too late now anyway. That guy's handling it. R.I.P. Lieutenant Karen Tracy. You died as you lived, barely around. Stabbed another dozen times. Scotty's
passed out in a chair. Yep, she's been stabbed a dozen times. She's dead, Jim. We hear it for the second time. We're in 14 minutes and 15 seconds of this show. We have two murdered women.
Two murdered women. Now, Scotty, like you said, pretty unconscious, which does seem to point to probably something else also going on. And when we come back from commercial, they're like waking him up. Jarvis gives him like a harmless stimulant. Scotty is really upset. He has no memory of just now either.
No, he goes, Lieutenant? He's looking for Karen.
And he's looking for her and they're like, bad news. She's super dead. And he's like, fuck, shit. He's like, I don't think I did it, but I really don't know. I hope I didn't do it. He like hates not knowing. Like he's very upset by what is happening.
But an interesting tidbit we have right now that doesn't point towards Scotty is there's no murder weapon. The murder weapon has disappeared. It's been used again, supposedly, but it's gone.
I'm thinking this mystery might not hold together.
So they ask, is there another way out of that room? And Jarvis says, well, there's a door to the garden, but it's been locked for many years.
That's fucking hate going to the garden, so I locked that shit up.
That's stupid. And I went, aha!
And then Bones is like, I'll go see if it's been picked. And then later he comes back and he's like, I can't tell. It's like, of course you can't. You're a doctor.
Well, no. If someone's picked it roughly, you can.
If someone has forced it, yeah. But he's just like, I couldn't even tell with a tricorder. And it's like, well, thanks for trying, Bones, I guess.
Yeah, so Hengist returns with the two men.
Right. And he's like, I found a couple other suspects. Although, why one of them is a suspect, I don't know.
Well, they both left the bar right before they left the bar, is why they want to talk to these two.
Well, guess what? One of them is the dead lady's dad.
Yep.
It's like, oh, she's danced for me. It's like, oh, you were playing music for her. She's like, yeah, she's danced for me since she was a little girl. Well, with her being my daughter.
She was my daughter.
Yeah. And then the other one is some guy, except it turns out it's not just some guy.
It's Morlaw.
Morlaw, who is the former fiancé of the dead dancer.
Fiancé. Still fiancé. He's claiming they're still in love. They were to be married. Yeah.
She's dead. But it seems the dad is like, well, I don't know about that. Because it turns out Morla had some not great feelings here on Argelius. And those feelings were jealousy. He was like jealous and possessive of her. And in this completely hedonistic society, they're not really into that.
Yeah,
she dances. Chill the fuck out.
Yeah. The prefect said, this is very disquieting.
Yeah. And he's like, and Morla, to his credit, is like, I know it's bad.
God, that emotion is strongly disapproved of here.
I get it. I'm not thrilled I feel that way. But I didn't kill her about it. Jesus.
And then, I'm sorry, what was her name?
Who?
Sebo. Sebo walks in. I am ready, Jarvis.
It's like, okay.
Gentlemen, please sit down. And I'm like, another fucking woman, you fucking idiots.
At least a bunch of other people are in the room now, so surely it'll go fine.
Oh yeah, they're all suspects. Let's put a woman in a room with a bunch of suspects.
So they have to, like, sit in a circle and hold hands.
I guess we've lost the knife, though, so maybe it'll be okay.
Maybe it'll be fine. And then Scotty, who again, just wants to know what's happening, very upset, really discomforted with the idea that he might be a murderer. And then it's just like, oh, this lady's, what, maybe psychic? We got to deal with her bullshit? I'm going to get the chair, Captain.
This mumbo jumbo, my career, my life are on the line here?
Yeah, very, very rude, Scotty. Be chill. And then Spock's like, ring, ring, hello, I'm running the ship up here. I was overhearing on the phone. Scott's right. That's crazy. Don't do that.
Yeah, Sebo says I'm ready. Ooh, let me make a call.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Spock, take your call later.
No, Spock calls him. He's like, hold on, I gotta step away.
I know. And I think that's rude. Sebo says she's ready.
Yeah. And it's just so funny for Spock, who does mind melds, to be like, That also seems like bullshit to me, Captain. Let's just beam Scotty out of there and use computers.
Kirk, no, like, no.
We gotta do what they want, you guys. Jesus. Like, they're doing their thing. That's not realistic.
Yeah.
It's fine.
No, but Spock wouldn't be fighting him. He knows that that's what has to be done. I mean, I think. I don't think Spock would have made that comment. Maybe he would.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It should be like, what if, you know, we never sent down another person to do another psycho tricorder reading. Like,
no, we would have sent another woman. Maybe we're not very bright. Why don't you have McCoy do it?
Yeah, why can't McCoy do it?
Come to think of it.
Jeez. So they sit down to the ritual, and guess what? Sebo's like, oh yeah, something fucking bad is here. Something horrible. She says it is a consuming hunger and a hatred of women. It is death. It is immortal. It cannot die. She says a couple words.
It has a name.
Rejak.
And that she's and
a hunger that will never die.
Kesla.
Yes. So she says all this. And then bad news. The lights go out. And lock the doors. There's Sebo been another screams. Murder. Sebo is dead.
And I wrote, not again. And we're at 21 minutes and 26 seconds. And three women are dead. Thank you, writer, Mr. Psycho Person.
Not beating the allegations of weird about women. When the lights come back on, Scotty is holding Sebo's dead body, proceeds to drop her on McCoy.
Yeah, she's kind of standing there. He's holding her up, I think, by like the arms.
Yeah, like the elbows or something.
And she's got this look on her face. Her eyes are wide open. And then she falls down into McCoy's lap and there's a knife sticking out of her back.
Yeah, and he literally has blood on his hands. We cut to commercial. When we come back, Kirk's like, well, they can't execute him if we prove he's insane.
Well, him and Hingis are fighting about it. Well, it's obvious he's the murderer. You know, he's had, and it's, you know, why didn't anybody ask, where the fuck did the knife come from? Scotty didn't have the knife.
Yeah. Also, they are not talking to Scotty, which they should, because as we quickly find out, he remembers this event, and he's like, I didn't do it.
Before we get there, this is not
a hole in the memory. Yeah. Before we get there.
No, you're right. We got there.
It's right about now, but Kirk is like, okay, what if we went up to the ship and used computers? And they stress that they can make a recording of Scotty's, like, subconscious and conscious mind that will prove without a doubt what the truth is. And they're like, without a doubt? And he's like, without a doubt. And it's like, even if he did do it? And they're like, absolutely. It's like, maybe we should have fucking started there.
Well, they wouldn't go to the ship. Yeah, they didn't want to go to the ship.
We didn't.
But now we will.
Now we will. And we're all going to go.
Yeah, Jarvis says, we will go to your ship. And he who is guilty will face the ancient penalties, barbaric and horrible though they may be. The ancient penalty for murder was death by slow torture. Do you understand that, Mr. Scott?
And Scotty's like, yep.
I...
Yeah, and Jarvis is like, yeah, that law never got changed. You can almost hear him be like, change that law. Not great. Don't love the slow torture death.
Well, we have to hire an outside person who enjoys that to do it. we can't do that.
No, yuck.
So we go back. Captain's log, stardate 3615.4.
This is probably what you're talking about earlier when you mentioned Jarvis and his mood. He's not that. I mean, he's, like, sad, but he's not that upset about his dead wife.
And you have to also keep in mind, he's an official. He's the president. True. So you can't wallow in your emotions. You got to continue to rule. But so we get to this briefing room, which is stupid. Now a whole bunch of pictures take place in here, which they could have done all in 15 minutes and then cut them all together. It's dumb. I hate it. But there's another fucking woman in the room. What is wrong with you people?
Well, spoilers, good news. That lady doesn't die. Close there for a second.
She could have. Twice.
Sure.
there was two occasions.
Yeah. So we've got the most pell-mell trial ever to happen where it's like, all right, computer do things. Everyone just ask questions. If you got a question, you just shout it out.
And just jump up when somebody else is testifying and you don't agree with it.
Yeah. No lawyers. And we're Hingis, just like
you shouting. Just keep talking your bullshit. We would love to hear it.
Yeah. Oh, God, Hengist. It's been so long since I've heard your piglet voice. You get it out there. You tell us what's what. The computer confirms that Scotty's concussion should not be causing memory holes like this. But it also confirms that when he says that he does not remember the first two murders, he is telling the truth. He is explaining what he experienced. He was not, like, conscious for those. And then he's like, BT dubs, I was conscious for the last one. Thanks for asking, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the computer's like, also true. You guys should have asked. And when they're like, what happened? He's like, okay, this is going to sound a little crazy, but something was in the room with us. Like, I was like, he was a couple people down from SIBO and he tried to get to her, and something that was sort of like the cold air coming out of a butcher. Yeah, was between them. And Kirk's like, you mean someone, right? And he's like, I literally do not mean someone. I mean something. And he's like, computer, is that true? And the computer's like, yep, that's true.
And here we have another little funny bit. Well, then let's hit this on the head.
Yeah?
That's what Kirk said.
Ah. But the next that question, is insensitive.
Did you kill SIBO? Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, no, I did not. Also, yeah. I still have a concussion. Don't talk like that.
Let's hit this on the head.
And
I said, I said, are you kidding me, right?
And so he says, no, I didn't. And the computer's like, he's telling the truth. And Hengist is still like, well, he still did it, though. Like, he's just sitting on the sideline, hands on his knees. And he's just like, I don't really care what that computer had to say. That guy did it. He did it every time. He definitely did it the last time.
And Jarvis tells him to sit down and shut up.
Yeah. And then they're like, all right, I guess let's get someone else up here.
Well, Jarvis says, we will continue, Hengist, shut the fuck up. And he says, we will cooperate. I do have reserve myself the right to make the final decision. So.
Right.
So then Morla takes the stand.
Yeah, they bring him up there and he's like, we were in love. And the dad's like, boo, no, you weren't. I hated that you were jealous.
I loved her. She loved me.
Boo, nope. And he's like, well, whatever, dude. I didn't kill her about it. And Kirk's like, computer, that true? And it's like, it's true, he didn't do the murder.
And did you kill Karen? No.
I ain't never seen that lady before. But yeah, they should just do this first. If the computer can tell, just have everyone sit in the fucking chair and go, did you do the murders? And then you say yes or no. And the computer confirms or denies. Like,
and there's that woman in the room, too. We brought her in here for a reason. And
turns out she did do the murders. No, she did not do the murders. And so instead of doing that, they're just like, hit a bit of a brick wall. What did SIBO say? She said, Regjack? Hey, computer, what's Regjack? And it's like, nothing. It's like, are you sure? And the computer's like, well, it's a name. It's like, well, that's something, computer. What's Regjack? And it's like...
it's a proper name from Earth, 19th century English. It's a nickname for a mass murderer of women, otherwise known as...
Jack the Ripper. Bomb, bomb, bomb. And the way everyone reacts, it is like... they all know who Jack the Ripper is.
That's a good point.
Which
they did. I didn't catch that.
I don't know if the Argelians would know who that is, but we cut to like all their faces like, oh my fucking God, Jack the Ripper.
He can't still be alive.
That guy can't be alive. One, I know who that is. Two, I know like Earth years. Like you say 19th century and I go, oh yes, of course. I know what that is. I'm from Argelius. I'm a dad who plays the drums. But yeah, they're all just like, well, that guy can't be around. That was a long time ago.
And Hengist is still like, he's right there. The man is right there.
Yeah. And they're just like, well, it wouldn't. Spock's like, well, there are things other than humans, I guess.
And Jarvis finally says, what did my wife say? A hunger that never dies.
And it's like, what if Jack the Ripper was immortal?
And it feeds on death and it feeds on fear. And Jim's like, yeah, so it can't be a human, because he'd be dead.
He'd be super dead. But what if he weren't a human? And they're like, okay, computer, what eats emotions? They're like, I don't know, other guys. There's something that eats love. Mm-hmm. There's like a cloud thing. And Hengist is like, sounds fake. And Kirk's like, no, that's a different cloud thing that I don't have problems with. It's a cloud during the day and then it sleeps as a rock.
I thought that was weird that we have the cloud thing right after the cloud thing.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't plan it is the thing. Like, they just had these writers write the episode.
Well, I was going to ask, that's not the same cloud thing, right?
No, it couldn't possibly be.
Right, because it just seemed cool with it.
Yeah, just two different writers back then having ideas like, what if a creature was a cloud? And at some point, they just, like, theorize a lot. It's like, okay, everything's pointing to be Jack the Ripper. It's like, everything? It's like, yes, everything. So what if? And they just talk a bunch, and then they're like, hey, computer, just listen back to the last 5 minutes. Does that seem plausible?
And she says, sure.
She says, yeah. And they're like, what would it look like if all that were real? And it's like, yeah, a guy could eat fear, and it would probably be like an electromagnetic field. I'm like, well, how can we not see it? And then someone goes, oh, they could make like a hypnotic screen. And then everyone's like, yeah, that makes sense. That's legit. Bones is like, that happens all the time. Hypnotic screens here and there. Every damn place. And he says many such examples in nature. And I'm like, name one. And the show's like, no.
And Hengist is like, this has gone far enough. This is a waste of our time.
Yeah, Hengist is like, ghosts and goblins, you guys are fucked in the head. That guy did the murders. And they're like, no. I think it's probably ghost creature Jack the Ripper.
So they ask about cases since Jack the Ripper and the computer, and it's...
well, hold on. Before we get to the litany of all the dead women, we do realize / decide that, of course, if Jack the Ripper were a ghost that eats fear, it would attack women, because women always, absolutely, they get scared easier and more
than men.
That's why Jack the Ripper killed ladies. Bigger meals. And then they're like, hey, these other words that weren't Red Jack, what are those? And both of them are nicknames for mass murderers of women on other planets. And they're like, hey, any other cases of mass murdering of women? And the computer's like, hell yes. And then it just rattles off a bunch of them for
Well, no, it only gives us five. It goes from London to 1932 Shanghai, China.
Right.
To 1974 Kiev. Mm-hmm. To 2105 Martian Mars. Colony.
Yeah.
To 2156 something in Alpha Iridian 2. And from there, she says, oh, and there's more examples. Yeah. But I believe it was knifed to death.
Yeah.
Knifed it is. To death.
Eight women knifed to death. And Spock's like, you know what that means, Captain? That was a straight line from Earth to here.
That's right.
And I'm like, was it?
Kesla was Deneba 2. And Baratus, Oh, you know what about Baratus? It was Rigel 4.
Why, well, that's where Hengist is from.
Oh, you know what else? It was only one solar year ago. Huh? Yeah,
not that long ago. And they're like, hey, Hengist, you're from Rigel 4. And he's like, so what? So are lots of people.
Would you take the stand, please? It's not a crime.
And he's like, no, I will not take the stand. And
Spock's quick to add, oh, well, I can see why you wouldn't want to take the stand. As the only administrator on that planet who would be investigating these crimes, it seems like you'd be the best, you know, you'd be a wolf in sheep's clothing. The entity would be like a hungry wolf in that fold. Yeah, so the name should have been Wolf in That Fold.
Well, he's like, they're, you know, the people of Argelius, or I've forgotten the name of the planet. It's like, they're as peaceful as sheep. I'm like, damn, Jarvis is right there. Of course, he's also probably like, I don't know what a sheep is. Maybe it's cool.
He knows what a sheep is. He knows who Jack the Ripper is.
That's true. He does know. For whatever reason, he does know who Jack the Ripper is. So they're like, hey, Hengist, are you Jack the Ripper? And he's like, well, this is outrageous. And they're like, let's look at that knife. What's up with that knife? And the computer's like.
But they're looking at the knife on the screen. The knife's still not there.
Right. Who knows where this fucking knife is? But they had it to take pictures of it. And they're like, it's from Rigel 4. It's like, well, that probably should have, we could have started there.
Well, no, they talk about the metal and the handle, and then that it has, it was, it, the, in, the scrawling on the handle is, it,
like folk proves, art or whatever.
Proves from... that it was produced by hill people on Argus, at the Argus River region on planet Rigel 4.
Aha! Are you from there? And he's like, whatever, fuck off.
And Hingis makes a run for it.
Yeah, he makes a break for it, and Kirk punches him in the face.
Okay, wait. So the very first thing that happens next is Jim pushes the woman out of the way up against the wall where he can't get to her. Thank God.
But then he hits this dude in the face, and the man goes down and is dead.
Yeah, he's dead, Jim. Like, what?
And Kirk's like, well, that's not possible. I didn't hit him that hard. I've never punched a guy to death.
And then we hear Regic.
Yeah, the ghost is in the computer. The Jack the Ripper ghost is in, hey, letting everyone know, except not, Jack the Ripper ghost in computer. And, yeah, I'll fucking kill you all. And it's Piglet still, obviously. And, Kirk's like, well, shit. And Spock's like, well, I mean, a little good news. Probably won't kill us immediately because it feeds on fear. It doesn't feed on dead. It feeds on scared.
So, and then the thing that I found interesting is that, McCoy asks Scotty to help him sit Mr. Hingis's body up in a chair.
Yeah, let's just prop that guy up. I don't know.
And we'll just put his head on the desk. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
He's a weird husk, but he deserves to sit up, I guess. So Kirk makes a call to the ship, and he does not explain that Jack the Ripper is in the machine. He just is like, hey, this is your captain speaking. Keep doing your jobs and don't get scared. Okay? We good? And everyone at their desk is like, what the fuck is he talking about now? And then he's like, hey, Bones, how much sedative do you got? And he's like, oh, fuck. So much. He's like, great. Good news.
I've got some stuff that would tranquilize an active volcano.
Good. Give it to everybody. We should probably turn the ship off. We should not be driving in this state. And he's like, so you start doing that.
Let's go to the bridge.
Everyone else stay here. You'll be safest. Don't know if that's true, but okay. And then, yeah, Spock and Kirk are like, how do we get a fucking ghost out of our computer? And they decide they will give the computer some unsolvable math to make it hard to live inside of it, I guess. And then they get scared by the turbo lift. Like, the turbo lift tries to bite Spock.
Yep.
It just closes real fast. And then it goes into free fall. They're not that frightened about it.
They're not scared at all.
They're just...
Manual override.
Yeah, they turn the knobs, they push the buttons. They're like, well, that, all right, it's working again. It's like, oh, life support went out. Oh, God damn it.
Well, we knew that would be soon.
Yeah.
So they make it to the bridge. They fix it
to the bridge, and everyone's like, what's happening? And then Regek is screaming at him from every speaker, and it's like, Kirk, your people will die. They will suffocate. I'm going to kill them. And Sulu's like, who's that? What's happening?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, hey, that's the first time I've heard a malfunction threaten us.
Yeah, because they're like, life support went out. It's like, we'll fix it.
Man your post, Mr. Sulu.
Yeah, the computer's like, I'll fucking kill you. I'm going to fuck your skull. I'm going to piss in your eyes. And Sulu's like, who's that? And Kirk's like, just hang up on him. Hang up on that guy. Turn that off.
Then another woman comes in to sedate everybody. And so he's kind of asking a question as Sulu is. He goes, whoever he is. And he goes, oh, he sure is talking gloomy.
Yeah, he gets sedated and immediately is goofy. And there's a lot of goofy sedation.
And he like stands up and Kirk says, man your post, Mr. Sulu, and sits him back down in his chair.
No, Kirk, send everyone to bed. Like, they do not need to be doing shit. Like, good news, got Jack the Ripper's ghost out of my ship. Bad news, Sulu flew it into the sun because he thought it was funny. We're dead now.
Yeah, man your post, Mr. Sulu, and don't be afraid. With an armful of this stuff, I wouldn't be afraid of a supernova.
Yeah, everyone, go back to your quarters. Lay down. Take a nap.
Computer, to the last digit.
Of pi.
I don't know that location.
Oh,
sorry.
Alexa, hush.
Yeah, I had to turn her off earlier because every time they said computer, she'd listen.
Yeah, they say a lot in this episode.
Yeah, that I just turned her off again. Sorry.
There you go. It's fine. Yes, so they. Well, one, Regek's ghost claims to have existed since the dawn of time mm-hmm. and will exist after time is over. Mm-hmm. Must suck. And then, yeah, they're like, computer, calculate to the last digit of pi. And then Spock and Kirk turn to each other and go, as you know, they say this simultaneously, as you know, pi doesn't have a last digit. And then they high five about it.
And Regek's in there. No.
Regek's like, I hate this. And
Kirk says, oh, the people who will get scared the first are the Argelians. We need to get back to the briefing room. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you left them in there with a dead body that this computer can jump, that this ghost can jump back in any time, apparently.
Well, they didn't think about that. And honestly, Argelians are handling it fine. They're really not bothered. They're not really in this episode anymore.
No, they've all been
sedated
except for Jarvis and McCoy at this point. The girl's in there giggling. Morals is in there giggling. The father's mm-hmm. in there giggling. Everybody's having a good old time. Scotty's giggling.
Yeah. Yeah, and so Kirk's like, how's it going? And Bones is like, well, it's just me and Jarvis and then you and Spock. And Kirk's like, we're good. You don't gotta worry about us.
Give yourself a shot, Doctor. I'd rather stay clear. Nope.
Yeah, Bones is like, no thanks. And Kirk's like, it was an order. And Bones is like, fucking fine. I don't know if this is supposed to be like a red herring or whatever. Like, maybe Bones is full of ghosts, but he's not. Regek leaves the computer. Too much pie in there.
And this is when McCoy and Jarvis still haven't been, But I think McCoy just gave himself the sedative, and Jarvis at some point got up and turned around and is facing the wall.
Mm-hmm. And turns out Regek is in there. He starts choking Kirk.
Yeah, Jim gets the hypo spray to give him the shot next, and that's it. Kill you all!
Yeah, but he sedates him, and so Regek jumps back into that empty corpse.
Well, no, he can't get the sedation in, so Spock Vulcan...
Oh, I missed that.
His neck, yeah.
Sorry, Jarvis. But yeah, the Regek jumps back into Hingis. He takes this lady hostage for half a second with the knife.
Of course he does. And where did the fucking knife come from? Because now the knife is back.
History's mysteries. They put that knife in that corpse's hand. But guess what? He's just a little man.
Well, he's got her, and she's laughing. She's giggling.
She's not bothered.
McCoy immediately says, be careful. You're going to hurt somebody with that thing. And he just saunters over to get it. And he doesn't know what to do since everybody's laughing.
Yeah.
So he throws the woman at McCoy. And they're both laughing. They're both giggling.
Yeah, he doesn't get very far. And they trank him.
Yeah, they managed to sedate him. Yeah, Jim and Spock.
Yeah, and instead of the ghost leaving... He just accepts this.
He says, die.
Yeah, he's laughing. Kirk just picks him up and just hauls. He's like, we're leaving. He just walks him through the halls with this man slung over his shoulder, laughing about how everyone's going to die.
And why is Jim carrying him? Don't the Vulcans have superhuman strength? Shouldn't Spock be carrying him?
Probably, but.
But he is a little guy.
Yeah, Kirk's just like, fuck this. And he just puts him down and they take him to the transporter room, and they lay him down, and he's like, we're just gonna beam him as widely as possible into space. And they tell the guy at the station, who again has been tranquilized, and then they're like, god, this guy's bad at his job. And it's like, yeah, no shit. People should not still be at their post.
Spock, you do it.
Yeah, so he has Spock do it. This guy kind of sadly is like, he didn't have to push me, I would have gotten around to it. It's just like, it's supposed to be funny. All these tranquilizer goofs are supposed to be funny. Mm-hmm. They beam Regek out into space. Piglet is dead.
Yeah, full deep space, full power, widest angle of dispersion.
Right. And Scotty and Bones show up. They're like, well, that guy can't die. He's immortal. A hunger that never dies. And they're like, well, we spread him out as thinly as possible.
He might not die, but he'll die eventually.
Yeah, Spock's like, he's just like... If he's alive, he is just like widely spread out molecules, like freaking out. And they're like, that is hilarious. And Kirk's like, great. How long for this to go? And Bones like 5 or 6 hours. He's
like, I don't know. Yeah, 5 or 6 hours. I gave him a pretty big shot, Jim.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, no work. You're all in a great mood. That's great. Spock, you and me. And Spock's like, well, you came to the planet to rest. Do you want to go down there? And fortunately, Spock is not suggesting send everybody, because that would be chaos. Spock's like, do you want to go? And Kirk's like, oh my God, Spock, we could go to the cafe where the ladies are so...
And McCoy's behind him again, says, I know the place, let's go.
Yeah.
And Scotty's like, yeah, let's go.
And Spock is just like looking at him like, please finish your sentence. And Kirk's like, no, I guess not.
Well, he says, you two can't go in your condition. Absolutely not.
He's like, Spock. And then he's like,
And then he says, go alone?
Yeah, the bit where he like turns toward himself and goes, alone? And then it's just like, nah, fuck it.
I'm not going to go by myself.
He's like, come on, everybody, let's leave. And that's the end of the episode. Mom.
Kelly.
What did you think of Wolf in the Fold?
I think it was very bad to have to kill all those women, especially a priest, a descendant from a high priestess who has such a, you know, wonderful and not that common gift. I think all these women dying was really ridiculous and awful. But yeah, now that I know it was written by the guy who wrote Psycho, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, this is a very, very silly episode.
Well, like, again, this is every the piece silly of it puns, is silly. You know?
The fact that you can be like, oh, the episode of Star Trek where Jack the Ripper is there and a ghost is funny. No, this is like bonkers and stupid.
They did try to get in some zingers, though. I'm dying to learn. Let's hit it on the head.
Yeah. It was weird because I've seen this before, obviously. It was weird rewatching it, and like we're going to like the on ship trial really fast. Like I'm like, that's later in the episode, right? And it's like, no, that's like over half the thing. Like the spacing out of events, the pacing is not good. No. I don't think.
No, and I hate that briefing room, all those shots they did in there, because it's just like, you know, what do they do? 2 hours in a day with these actors, you know, that just sit there and stare at each other. Just sit there and exchange these notes, you know, this script. And, oh, yeah, y'all just sit over there and look uninterested. Mm-hmm. You know, it was awful. I hated that. And I mean, I'm even watching it on, I didn't even put it on my monitor. I just left it on the laptop and it was still too big. I'm like, this is probably the size TVs were back then. This is too big. I hate this.
So because they never fully confirmed it in this episode, the ghost of Jack the Ripper killed those first two women in Scotty's body, right? Right?
No, I don't think so. I think Mr. Hingis did it.
So you think physically Piglet walked in with a knife and did it?
Yeah.
And then he just, well then why does Scotty have holes in his memory?
Because of the hypnotic screen. That's a thing. Nobody but
that's stupid.
Well, that's what Spock said. He said, I will tell you that he was murdering women in the most populated place on Earth, and he never got caught. And that's when they came up with this hypnotic screen. Only the victim could see him.
Huh. Again, this is not the first time. I've known about this episode for a long ass time. I probably watched it for the first time a decade ago, maybe longer. And up until this moment, I would have sworn it's like, yeah, he hopped his body in there.
Nope.
Wow, even dumber.
He didn't.
You know,
the second time he didn't even have the knife, Kelly.
Well, it's true. Which is, I had not thought about till you mentioned it.
And the third time, he also didn't have the knife. The knife was not there. Hingis had the knife on him.
I guess.
And then at the end, how he got the knife, I have no idea, because they had it over being analyzed somewhere. Yeah,
like
so that makes no sense.
The mystery might not hold together when it involves the immortal ghost of Jack the Ripper.
No, Scotty didn't do it.
Yeah, I guess not at all. I've always been like, yeah, well, you know, if you get possessed, it doesn't count.
Nope, he didn't do it.
He didn't even do that much.
Nope, we can't have Scotty doing that. Come on.
If you get possessed, it doesn't count.
Yeah, he still would have felt really bad.
Well, sure. But he would have forgotten about it by next week.
That's true. He would have.
They don't care. He wouldn't have carried that with him at all. I like that an episode this silly exists. I don't. And the fact, like, it's Jack the Ripper and it's Piglet. Like, the fact that...
And it's dumb puns.
Yeah, and it's... We got... Scotty might hate women if he doesn't look at a belly dancer.
Yeah, that's stupid. That's dumb. That's insulting.
Yeah, I don't like hate watching it. I don't love watching it either. But this is definitely one that, like, it's funnier that it's just... That you'd be like, oh, you know the episode written by the guy who wrote Psycho and Piglet's Jack the Ripper? And then everyone has a good laugh, and then we move on with our day.
Oh, well, you should have told me we could have done that at the beginning.
Sorry. No, that's the thing. You get to do it now. You get to, like, be at a party and be like, did you know? One time, the guy who played Piglet also played Jack the Ripper. But no, he just sounds like that. Piglet was threatening to kill a ship full of people. Yeah. This is, I don't know if it's, like, legendarily bad episode of TOS.
Let's hope so.
Well, like, it, some of the bad ones have real shoddy conceits. This one has, like, a misogynistic conceit.
Ooh.
But I do, like, watching it this time, I'm like, I do think he, like, all the details about, the extra details about Argelius, like, hiring their administrators from outside, like, I feel like he thought about it.
Yeah.
And, like, as a science fiction thing, it's like, oh, I'm gonna think about these planets, and I'm gonna think about this stuff. I feel like it has a little more sort of on-the-edges world building than I remembered or anticipated. But it is just... at its core, silly and woman murdering.
Yeah.
But now we're done.
Don't keep sending more women in. That's just stupid.
At least have someone think about it. If someone's been accused of murdering a woman, maybe don't leave him alone in a room with one other person, period.
Yeah.
Definitely a woman, but probably not a man either. Like,
well, that's true. You should have had a guard there. But
yeah.
Yeah, it comes down to, well, then the guard would have been hypo screen two or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know what I was saying now. It's just silly.
No, yeah. They don't make very smart choices. No. And, like, it turns out the smart choices wouldn't have mattered because it's a alien entity ghost.
Oh, no. When Kirk asked for a psycho tricorder or whatever the fuck it was, why didn't he say, oh, and don't send a woman? How easy would that have been?
And send two security guys with that person, whoever it is, just to be safe. And like you said, it wouldn't have mattered, but also, they didn't try.
The whole beginning, you're worried about his resentment toward women. You think he might have murdered a woman. Don't send a fucking woman.
Yeah, no. They don't even think about it. Very silly. Is there anything else you'd like to say about Wolf in the Fold?
It should have been called Wolf in That Fold. That's the quote.
I think it's fun to talk about, but it's stupid city.
It was really stupid city.
We don't have
guys,
any
if you're out at a party, you want to be drinking, watch something totally stupid, makes absolutely no sense, and you can scream at it the entire time, watch this Star Trek episode.
Yeah, not a bad choice for that. We don't have any emails, but if you'd like to email us, you can do so at boldlytho@gmail.com. That's boldly, T-H-O.
You can also get at us on Twitter.
Yep, same handle next week, for real this time. We're going to watch TNG.
Uh-huh.
Season 2, episode 18. It's called Up the Long Ladder.
That's a dumb name.
It is. It's a dumb episode.
Oh, okay. Here, let me write that down. Dumb. Oh, I can remember that.
Dumb.
Another dumb episode.
Yeah, when I saw that we were doing Wolf in the Fold and Up the Long Ladder back to back, I did say, oh no, to myself out loud in my house.
Yeah, you told me that last time.
Yeah, it's true. It gets better after that, I think.
Good. It better.
So yeah, until then, engage.
Bye, Kelly.
Bye.
Kelly, it looks like we've got two more discos before we get to what we haven't seen. Is that correct?
True.
Oh, new disco on the horizon.
That's right.
Will it suck? Will it not suck?
No.
We don't know.
I don't know. It might not suck.
Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah, let's be hopeful.